Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got the mac and cheese lady we play every year. We got some SNL talk. We got some Adele talk. We got some Rotten Tomatoes. And first, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving week has come. It's time to take off work, pile your plate high, and toss back a couple. Carolla Drinks is here to help. For this week and this week only, Carolla Drinks is throwing a Thanksgiving week Mangria blowout sale. Every bottle of Mangria, site-wide, is only $15. That's white peach pear, brosé, and the original orange. All just $15 each. Head to CorollaDrinks.com today. And from all of us at the Adam Carolla Show, happy Thanksgiving.
This is Walk-In's Welcome with Bridget Fettesy.
I love hearing people's stories of resilience and grit. This is why I created this podcast.
We are very excited to welcome Jim Gaffigan,
Yasmin Mohammed,
Glenn Beck, Tim Dillon,
Abigail Schreier,
Jeff Garland,
Ayan Hirsi Ali,
Sam Harris,
Heather Hying,
Jonah Goldberg,
Ben Shapiro,
Glenn Greenwald,
Sarah Shahi,
Colin Quinn.
If there's a culture of victimhood, then let's tell stories of grit and survival.
Subscribe and listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Pete Lee. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, with the annual reminder to keep your Thanksgiving falutin-free, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Not to get on. The children are going to manage to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Brian?
Yay, that's pretty cool.
Pete Lee, comedian's going to join us in the next hour. Always funny. Always have a good time with him. So we'll look forward to that. We got our mac and cheese lady that we bring out every year at this time, who we're all in love with. I have thoughts on
lest we
her.
Forget her message.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very important.
And speaking of flavor, I sampled your bat mitzvah queen's mints.
Are they weird?
Nothing minty about them.
Really? I haven't tried them.
Curiously unstrong.
Are they just like sugar cubes? That's what they look like.
They're
placebos for double blind.
You took a ton of acid.
I was just talking to Dr. Drew about placebos, and he was talking about the new COVID pill, and they had more side effects in the placebo group. And I was like, how do you have more side effects in the sugar? I was going, sugar pill.
Yeah.
It's a sugar pill. He kept pointing at his head.
Oh, yeah. Totally psychosomatic. Like,
yeah.
You're right.
It's just the very definition of empty calories.
It's like a dehydrated marshmallow.
Yes. Yeah. There's a, it's
with a cute little logo.
No reason to eat mint.
Go ahead and take that.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes. Had like a narc stepdad and he was coming down the hall and you popped a few of those in your mouth because you ripped the bong load 10 minutes
you'd
earlier.
Be fucked.
You'd be fucking hanging in the wind.
Yep.
You tell that niece of yours. I got do hung better. Out to dry, man. I put that mint in yesterday and I just thought, I just watched myself getting fatter with zero pleasure.
With a sugar spike and
just
then a crash.
A sugar spike.
I'm sorry.
And then a crash.
No good deed. Also, I tested the theory that the entire hammer was on YouTube last night.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's still great.
It's real and it's spectacular.
It's spectacular. And I think hopefully it's you, somebody's still getting paid for it because it does have ads.
Oh, boy.
So you can watch it. Hopefully you're seeing some scratch from that, and it's on there in its entirety, and it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I was doing...
It's going right to his Venmo.
Yeah, that's right.
If he's not, he'll never see.
He doesn't have a Venmo.
I was doing some sort of... It is an interesting thing. I was doing comedy. I'll circle back to what I was going to say. But I was doing comedy about 3 weeks ago at the outdoor in the round space. And when I was done, they're like, oh, we don't have cash, but we can Venmo you, right? And I was like, I don't have
Venmo. I might
Venmo.
As well do the show for free.
Right. And then they're like, oh, yeah, what are you going to do? But I thought if I was in charge of distributing cash to comedians... Mm-hmm. Anyone over the age of 46,
yeah.
I would keep the cash in my pocket and go, oh, give me your Venmo. And they'd go, I don't
What's
know what that is. And they go, oh, sorry. And then
Great
they would
show,
just,
Joey Coco Diaz.
Right. Then they would just leave, yeah. And I'd save myself $300.
Yeah.
So funny, I was doing some hit, some press thing on this Daily Wire stand-up special series I got coming out, which is on, I think, Black Friday it comes out. Yeah. Anyway, I was doing that, and at some point, and I don't ask a lot of questions going in. It's just more like, where's the van going to be? Mm-hmm. What time do I need to be in the seat? Blah, blah, blah. See, it's kind of funny because you wear like a jacket and a shirt from the waist up. Mm-hmm. And you sit there in your shorts, you know, and they put some sort of cityscape behind mm-hmm. you. And it's kind of interesting. They bring these mobile vans everywhere. And I was doing that, and at some point, the host said, I want to read a tweet of yours, because I think it's important.
Gotcha.
Like, oh, man. Yeah, my mind was awash with thoughts, you know, and he goes, well,
Mike Lynch did it.
He goes, I want to read a tweet of yours, because I think it's really important, and I'd like you to discuss it. And I was like, oh, boy, here
Explain
we go.
Explain your tweet.
Yeah.
And he said, a tweet I sent out like 3 days ago and said, we need to all come together, which is me being ironic because every once in a while I'll go, children are the future.
Yeah.
Or we got to mask up, lock it down. You know, just say stupid stuff. But in this guy's world, it was poignant and meaningful.
Yeah.
And he didn't know it was ironic. And then I was sitting there.
Oh, boy.
And now I had to buy into my own ironic yarn that I'd woven. You know what I mean? I can't go, I'm just fucking around.
Because there's two ways to go. One is like, I try tweet platitudes for idiots to laugh at.
Right.
Or, like you.
Or that's the implication.
That shines a light on his team, his production team, you know. So I found myself having to spit out reasons why we need to all come together.
So did you start believing your own words? What did you say?
I really have no recollection of what I said. I probably steered it to something I was angry about almost immediately. Mm-hmm. But it was funny that was the tweet.
We've all got to come together over these potholes.
So the other thing I got, well, should we play the mac and cheese lady? We do it every year. I don't even know her name. But
how long has this meme been around? Was it 2 years, 3 years ago? It was before COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like it's been a few years. And she echoes all our thoughts on Thanksgiving.
It's not broken.
For me, it's more global. It's more everyday than, you know, it's like I was saying to someone, Mike August used to have oatmeal cookies on the rider. Okay. Something happened to him. I don't know what happened. Mike Starr decided, well, I'll just get the hot chocolate lava cake at the club. We don't need the oatmeal cookies. But he would just go oatmeal cookies, and 7 out of 10 of them would have pieces of cranberry in them. Mm. And Mike never liked it. Mm. But Mike never said oatmeal cookies with
minus cranberries.
Chunks of super kind of sour pieces. And he just said oatmeal cookies. But that's what oatmeal cookie has become. And my whole thing is, oatmeal cookies, if you like oatmeal cookies, not broken, leave them the fuck alone.
They don't need to be frosted.
Raisin.
No, don't need it. And this leads us nicely into mac and cheese.
So this is from November of 2018. At Miami Baby tweeted this with the caption, y'all please listen to my auntie snap. She was so mad because my cousin tried to make some macaroni yesterday with cream cheese and messed up the whole meal.
We told you don't put that shit in the macaroni cheese, but you insist on putting it. So since you want to do things your damn way, we're going to do shit our way. We get ready to go upstairs and go to sleep while you clean up all this shit for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. But guess what? This shit ain't fair that we couldn't even get a decent thing of macaroni cheese. We got to wait to go back to Goose for Auntie Karen to make us some damn macaroni and damn cheese. because you decided to do some bullshit you didn't see off the damn internet. Don't experiment on damn Thanksgiving. Don't experiment on Thanksgiving. Mom, you experiment by your damn self.
I've cooked with cream cheese before.
Hell, don't try it with us. We don't want that shit. Auntie Karen gave you the damn recipe, but you chose to do shit on your own.
Love that woman. She should be put on a postage stamp. Like, all right, Harriet Tubman, fine. Well, move over.
Yeah.
Make room with someone who's really having an impact.
That's
right. You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah.
Get the message out.
I also thought, you know, I had an Aunt Pat, and she was no Aunt Snap. You know what I mean? She's very white, had a short haircut, very kind of buttoned down. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we all need, like, an Aunt Snap?
Fuck
in
our life. I want to be Aunt Snap.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that you're the right shade. I feel like there should be some exchange program. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are lousy with Aunt Snaps in your world. Yeah. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, you go to a reunion, you have 15 Aunt Snaps. By the way, they're making a lot of noise. You know what I mean? Like, I only need one peacock. I don't need 13. You know what I mean? But the one I could really get some enjoyment out of. Yeah. You get a whole bunch of Aunt Snaps in there. You've ruined the picnic.
You
know what I mean?
I like where you're going with this, Aunt Snap. But Snap is a verb in this case.
It is? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen to my
listen
auntie.
To my Aunt Snap.
Oh, well, I don't mind that. I don't care. I like Aunt Snap.
But I like it. Uh-huh. Aunt Snap. Yeah. I like it.
Auntie Snap. Snap, yes.
Listen to my Auntie Snap. I like that.
And, you know, you could use her for, like, if you have a 9-year-old who's getting into trouble. You don't want to put hands on the kid.
Right.
You don't like the optics of that.
Technically,
you know?
You didn't.
You know, you just get Aunt Snap to, like, come in and kind of lay down the law, talk about getting a switch out, you know, critiquing highfalutin. You know, someone makes some poached salmon for Thanksgiving. You call on Aunt Snap. She comes in,
the
lays the law down.
The kid will wish he had put hands on him.
That's right.
Yeah.
After that's right.
After being dressed down by Aunt Snap.
You're right. And in the spirit of not experimenting on Thanksgiving, it's not much of an experiment because I know a lot of people do it. I don't care for it, and neither does anyone I live with. But I heard tale there's going to be cornbread stuffing this year. I've never liked cornbread stuffing. I like just run-of-the-mill regular stuffing. So we'll be bringing our own.
Well, where are you bringing it?
To our we're having a Friendsgiving.
I say, so here's my cornbread stuffing. I like cornbread. I've never had cornbread stuffing.
It's like kind of sweet. It's polenta-y. I don't care for it.
My thing is there's two criterias. One is stuffing broken? Like, do we not like stuffing? I fucking love stuffing. Stuffing in the bird, sucking up all the juice and everything is the best. And then the other one would be, oh man, I had a stuffing sandwich on Tuesday. The guys brought in a big tray of stuffing to work on Thursday. Like, I'm so burnt out. I'm stuffed. Like, I've seen traditional stuffing so often throughout the course of the year that thank you for breaking up this monotony of stuffing. But the reality is there is no stuffing consumption it's like, well, in June.
Sure.
And I ate my Fourth weight
of July
in stuffing.
Oh,
yeah,
stuffing binge in May.
So there is no, A, it's not broken. B, we haven't got our fill of it. Mm. And I say that about most things on the table for Thanksgiving. So once again, you do the best version you can do of traditional. You know, make the best apple pie, make pumpkin pie, but I don't need the vein of mulberry going through it or anything like that.
No.
How much of that is just jacking off into a ceiling fan? You know what I mean? Where they announce, here's how I do it.
Yeah, sure. It's extra points you think you're getting.
You don't. It's diminishing returns.
I totally agree. And by the way, you know what else isn't broken? Mashed potatoes.
Not at all.
Please don't fuck those up.
No. Yes. Brian.
I will say that I posited yesterday that if you're going to do an alternate version, this girl could have listened to me 3 years ago. And if she brought her mac and cheese, but also, you know, the regular mac and cheese, everyone would have been happy. There would have been some for everyone.
This is my iced tea theorem. You must provide regular iced tea and then go off in whatever flavorful, fanciful direction you want to go, whatever whimsical flavor you want to get into, but I need the base.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
And the unbrokenest side dish of all is mac and cheese. Good mac and cheese.
We all know it's
beautiful.
Through the fucking roof.
Just because of you said tea, we went to Arthur J's the other night in Manhattan Beach. Very fancy, very, very lovely. And and I asked for an iced tea. And the waiter says, would you like ginger peach or like ambrosia hibiscus? And I looked at him. I didn't say a word. And do you know what he said to me without me even speaking? I know. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So I'm clearly not the first one to shoot him that look.
All right.
But let me just say this, though. Mm. If I do have a second for these things. So my Italian side of the family does an Italian stuffing. And it's pork, like the pork sausage that's ground up. You know what I mean? Like the ground up pork sausage.
I'm listening.
Sourdough, always sourdough bread because it's the Bay Area, of course. Pine nuts, vegetables. The whole, it's an Italian stuffing. And they always have the regular stuffing too, the stove
top. The stove top.
Whatever the fuck people like, idiots like. And it's, Adam, to your point, with the veggie sandwiches or the veggie pizza or whatever, put them out side by side. Which one do you think it's vanquished first?
The Italian.
Of course,
it's the stove top cooked on the stove.
I have nothing to do with it, but I assume.
You got to be in the water. Bird. Put some butter in the water.
Got to be in the bird.
You could probably microwave it.
You got a mash up for us, Dawson? Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, we also do this every year.
Happy Thanksgiving. We love you, but guess what? Since you fucked up the macaroni and cheese, you're cleaning up all this shit by yourself. Junior, Dejana, nor me are going to help you clean up. Macaroni and cheese. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. Macaroni and cheese. We told you don't put that shit in the macaroni and cheese, but you insist on putting it. Macaroni and cheese. So since you want to do things your damn way, we're going to do shit our way. Macaroni and cheese. We get ready to go upstairs and go to sleep while you clean up all this shit for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. But guess what? Macaroni and cheese. This shit ain't fair that we couldn't even get a decent thing of macaroni and cheese. We got to wait to go back to Goose. Budgie Karen to make us some damn macaroni and damn cheese. Macaroni and cheese. Or you decided to do some bullshit you didn't see off the damn internet.
I love that moment.
She's still going.
Also, apologies to Tyler Perry. I used to say your caricatures are way over the top.
No, they're all on.
Spot on. Right. So I had a couple thoughts. One was, I was watching SNL, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago. And then I was watching it last week, and I was watching the top. And we'll do the... they did the it's the cold open, but they did the one where Pete Davidson played Joe Rogan. We'll play that one, and it's a thought. It's a little philosophical, but I'm curious what you guys think. So there was the Davidson Big Bird Ted Cruz one. Play that.
Maybe the vaccine gave me COVID.
Yes, that sounds correct. But let's ask our resident medical expert, Joe Rogan.
Well, that's right. I used to host Fear Factor, and now doctors fear me.
Can you help me, Joe?
Oh, sure thing, Big Bird. You see, I took Carlos Mencia down. I could take COVID. Here's some zinc, an ayahuasca, and some horse medicine.
But why would a bird take horse medicine?
I'm a human, and I took horse medicine. And I'm speaking of things that are horse-like. Today's two sponsors are the letters S and D, as in I can S my own D.
So here was my thought. So
looks like Uncle Fester.
They should have buffed him up like Hans and Franz.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't got maybe the budget's down.
For Pat.
But here's my thought. Hey, look, Joe Rogan didn't take horse medicine, and then he had Sanjay Gupta, and he kind of
backed him into a corner.
Backed him up and had to admit it, and he just didn't do it. But it gets into the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. But I really think where things get cemented into the zeitgeist is comedy.
Sure.
I never really
Once
thought
it's
about that.
Once a premise for a joke.
Right. So
then
you
it's like,
go,
well, you all agree on the premise.
You go, well, tossibly. Fox says this and CNN says that. Well, that's an argument over the zeitgeist, but where does it go? But when it starts getting into the comedic realm, it is now cemented.
Yeah.
It's now sort of sets it. It's
You're
like
absolutely
now
right.
It's it was carved in wet cement, and now the cement's dry because it's in the comedy zeitgeist.
Yep. Do you know what a very famous example of that is? Who said, I can see Russia from my house?
Oh, Sarah Palin.
No, she did not. Tina Fey did.
Right.
But we all attribute that to Sarah Palin.
Like you say about comedy, the premise can't be confusing. It'd be like, oh, have you ever been down to the grocery store and blah, blah, blah? And no one can be like, no. Like, we all have to kind of agree on the premise before the joke can take off.
I also say the key is specificity, so blah, 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 not as good as... But no, yada,
would have worked too.
No, it's. I start thinking, oh, now it is.
Right.
Now it is, because once the comedy, once SNL makes it that, then it just is. We don't have enough room in our hard drive to sort everything out.
It's okay.
Gina's mic's flopping around. I was watching, and then I was watching last week, and they had the judge from the Rittenhouse case, and I thought, oh, we've cemented it. It's... what's her name doing Judge Judy, which is really funny.
Cecily Strong.
Cecily Strong does a very good Judge Judy.
Judge Jeanine.
Oh, Jeanine. Sorry. Judge
Jeanine Pirro.
We're right.
Right?
But wait a minute. With
it says Jeanine.
It says Judge Jeanine.
Oh. Oh, it's what's the J-U-D?
J-U-D, as I spell Judge, buddy.
Oh, boy.
No. Oh, okay. What's the T? Oh, what's the T?
Justice with Justice Judge Jeanine.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Now, if I may say, judge to judge, what turned me on the most was how
Judy.
You ruled that courtroom with an iron fist. Tell us how you did it.
Well, it was all standard procedure. That's why I ordered that the prosecution not use the word victims. They were rioters, and they weren't shot. They were gadoinked. But that did not give my client an unfair advantage in any way. Yeah.
You said my client. Do you mean the defendant?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, keep doing that.
Well, you do you, Judge. You do you. Thanks for coming.
All right. It's in. It's in the zeitgeist. It's cemented. So don't ever let whatever side you're on, don't let it get to the comedians. Because then it is done. It has been spoken. All right. We have something that I was thinking about when I was doing an interview this morning, which is can't be the first to bring this up, but I haven't heard it brought up by anyone, so I'll bring it up.
What's that?
I was saying we're at a weird inflection point in time where I was saying to the person that was interviewing me at the beginning, and I've talked to everyone about the fact that at the beginning of my career, there'd be complaints. It'd be from the right, be from the religious right. They didn't like you saying this or saying that. But as I was talking about it, I said they used to police words. They did not like you saying shit or fuck or piss or God damn it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it was very word centric. This guy used this language wherever. They didn't protest much about the theme. It was just what words you use. You know, George Carlin bit we can all reference. But I said, now we've gone to words to ideas. It's policing ideas. It's not really the words. As a matter of fact, they're wide open to the words. We're just watching CNN. They're saying bullshit and stuff like that. The cussing doesn't matter anymore. The words don't matter. It's the ideas. You know what I mean? Like they were very... Their panties were in a bunch about Dave Chappelle, certainly not because of language or words. It was the ideas.
Sure, Noah specified, like, oh, he called them this word.
He was expressing. So now we're in an idea.
Right.
The part of the sort of policing of the language has drifted into the realm of the ideas and away from the words. Words are pretty easily policed. You just go, you cannot say piss, you know, you can say pissed off. You can't say pissed on my girlfriend. Like there's the, and then what you do with the words is anyone who's done radio knows I don't give a GD what the S you effers or try to MFers come up here with the take a P on the F with the Z. You know, you just start talking that way. So it's
people
like,
know what you mean.
I can get around everything, but you can't get around ideas.
Yeah.
And words are more, look, either you said shit or fuck or you didn't say shit or fuck. Ideas can be sort of morphed and moved stretched.
There's no interpretation with words.
Like I knew what, I knew what you meant or I saw what you were getting at.
The word can't be a dog whistle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It can't, but like the idea can.
The idea could be, no, I was in support of X, Y, and Z. Going way back to my nephews where I was explaining that they're German or half German, but they shouldn't be held accountable for the Holocaust. And that's like, you called them Nazis. Yeah. Like those are these ideas that are getting pulled and morphed and turned into bad mac and cheese. And I thought that's an interesting point we're at in life where the ideas are getting, but the words we've completely left alone.
No, you're right. And it's a very, with the ideas that way, it's a very funny sort of, he who smelt it, dealt it situation. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if you're accusing me of that, your mind's in the gutter.
Yeah,
I didn't say it.
That's what you're thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Are your Nazi nephews going to be at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, the Hitler Youth.
They shall.
Oh boy.
They shall be there.
Uncomfortable.
They're
super comfortable.
God, they're all getting. If they're, I think I got one that's still a teenager, but the other two are in their 20s now.
Boy.
It's kind of interesting. Everyone's just doing what they want. Like I said, like they're trying this, they're exploring that. It doesn't have to be, you know, young people, young men, young women too. Used to be kind of on the clock. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to do? We're going to finish college. Mm-hmm. You're going to start a family. You're going to get a career going. No, it's just a kind of a lot of, I don't know what I want to do.
Time.
We'll figure it out.
What are they dabbling in? What genre?
Let's see. There's some automotive repair, which is, which of course, makes my heart sing with joy.
Yeah.
I think there's some fashion in there.
Oh.
I'll be talking to him.
Stripe pajamas.
There's a little college involved. Yeah. All right. We have also a clip from Truth Yeller, which is going to be on the Daily Wire, I think, the day after Thanksgiving and Black Friday. I have not seen the clip, but, let's see.
Ooh.
Two specials premiere this Thanksgiving. But I don't. The Leno episode is Friday, and then, the Riggle special is Cyber Monday. And you can go to dailywire.com/Adam. Save 35% of your membership now. And here's me and Riggle, and I don't know what we're talking about because I just told Chris to pull the clip.
I get mad. Do you get mad? I get actually mad now when someone paints me up with hot gas on a plane. Mm-hmm. You know?
You ended that with the word now.
Yeah. Well, I tolerated so much as a young man. I would sit there and someone would go, you know, give me the hot one, and it would the silent but deadly, and it would hit me like a hot slap in the face.
Right.
And I'd go, God damn it, you know. But I wouldn't express anything. I would endure, mm-hmm. just get through.
Yeah.
And I would just sit there and I'd shake my head. I'd go, who does that? Who? What kind of manners? How far have we slid? Like, we're Rome. It's over.
It's over.
It's done. And I'm like, you're farting on people. And now, and I used to just endure it. Now I'm like, oh, come on! I verbalize. I was like, where do you think you are? I'm literally just talking to the entire fuselage. Anybody in that plane's getting a taste of what I got. And now I realize, like, everybody's lost their manners on planes, right? There's no manners.
There's nothing.
It's all gone. And this flying rage and all this stuff. And it makes a lot more sense to me because, in a way, I contribute to it with my little sliver of rage. But it's all about farting on me. Don't fart on me, man.
Yeah. I display that flag proudly at my home. Don't fart on me.
Don't fart on me.
It's, it's a picture of Rob sleeping on a Southwest flight. Fat guy in sweatpants.
Yep.
Great Rob Riggle.
Very funny.
We need to come together. Who knows?
I love that guy. There's nothing better than a dude.
No, he's a total dude. He's a Midwestern dude.
He's a Midwestern, went into the Marine Corps, flies, you know, has his, I think, his private pilot's license. Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Miss those dudes. They're in short supply these days. All right, let's see. I got a spot here. Oh, Adele. Yeah. Did you guys hear about this Adele situation?
Yeah. I feel bad for the guy.
So,
if that's what we're talking about.
Didn't listen to the album?
But had a valid excuse.
Okay.
Yeah, some. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear the excuse part. I didn't get all the nuts, all the nuts and the bolts. But did you get this story? Also, I can't be too sanctimonious about it.
I was like, what's the problem?
I don't always do my homework.
So what happened, New York Post reported that there's an Australian TV host who flew 10,000 miles to interview Adele as part of a $725,000 deal. He gets there. He sits down with Adele. Adele's like, what'd you think of the new album? It's like, I've only heard the single. I haven't listened to it yet. And reportedly she walked out, and then Sony wouldn't let them use any of that interview, and they shelved it. So the guy then says that he received the email with like as an e-card link, kind of like how you get your screeners, Adam. So but he missed it upon landing in London, so he didn't know he even got the album. And then so he also then just did an interview like last night or today where he said Adele didn't storm out. In fact, it was the polar opposite. What was meant to be 20 minutes was extended to 29 minutes, and she loved me. But yet, Sony hasn't allowed them to release any of the interviews. So
yeah,
everyone's kind of questioning what really happened.
If he's right, then this poor guy, because he said the interview, like, first of all, no excuses. I am mortified. I am embarrassed. That's all I can say about that. But I didn't get this link. Like, I was on the plane or whatever. Like, I didn't even know it had been made available to me. So I told her, I heard the song that you let us hear. And now if he's saying, like, and by the way, we got along great, then I do feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, I do too.
He got suspended.
Was it a
why?
Well, is that there was the album available before
just
this?
To like VIPs that were going to interview
well,
her?
Well, then that's not on him.
Supposedly, if I'm hearing this correctly, the link was sent mid-flight.
Yeah, he missed the link.
Okay,
yeah. And this is November 4th, so it's before the album dropped.
Oh well, then that's not on him. Plus, I'd say to Adele, hey, man, it was only a 10-hour flight. Like, if we're talking about a 14-hour flight, I could have carved out
a little time. That's egregious.
I watched seven of the Fast and Furious franchise. But
had to get my 9 hours in.
Yeah,
shut
so eyed. If he couldn't have procured it any
that's
other way,
yeah.
And the people sent it to him when he was in mid-flight, then that's kind of on his people, yeah. Not on him, right? Yeah. Why so? Is Sony getting their panties in such a bunch?
I mean, conspiracy Chris would say that maybe she did walk out, or something. You know, something bad did happen, and they just don't want it getting out. And they maybe told the interviewer, like, "Hey, you got to go out and say that she was great and she loved you, and everything went fine."
Well, and there was a meme this weekend of her giving like dagger eyes, and so that's like the thing. Like she was irate about it, but yeah, who knows?
Maybe he heard it and didn't like it. I was trying to cover. God knows, Gina and I have seen. A handful of movies for the show that we have to be creative about our line of questioning.
What'd you think of the movie? It sure was.
It really was something. How did you land the role?
Is there...
please talk for 20 minutes.
Is formerly fat angrier than regular weight since junior high?
Well, the fuck do you ask?
Oh, yeah.
More indignant?
Well, for women, there's so much that goes along with being heavy, like your whole life. There's the treatment, there's a whatever, and then all of a sudden you're down all the weight. It's the anger, it's the chip on the shoulder.
Combine that with just
the
diva.
The pringle on her shoulder.
Well, just with the diva archetype, right? The singer, the solo singer who's always on stage and being catered to, and she is relatively young. She's not a kid, but I'm saying she's not Aretha fucking Franklin who's doing this for 70 years, you know what I mean? This is kind of, you know, on the crest of her career. She's still on the way up. I'm just saying there's you know, contributing factors.
Well, if he couldn't get it beforehand and his guy sent it when he was in the air, then I gotta cut the guy some slack. Why do they suspend him though?
I don't
that's
know
on their side.
Well, and that's the thing, if he's sitting in the interview and he still doesn't know he's been sent a link, he's not even gonna give that as an excuse. He'll go, no, I haven't heard the album, I heard the song that's out. He
all
wouldn't
right.
even know.
Can you do an Adele?
I don't know.
Okay, that's
I don't
good.
Know. I haven't heard her in a
all
long
right.
time.
Now, what he needed to do, he really dropped the ball journalistically because he didn't bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, you be Adele, I'll be interviewing you.
Oh,
I love your music.
Oh, thank you. What'd you think of the new album?
Man, still got that new album smell, man. Love that.
You old bloke.
I can't pick a favorite. Though. That's I have children. What do I do? Pick one that I like more than the next?
That's really sweet. Which one spoke to you more? You know, I sang a lot about hardship, heartbreak and relationship.
Yeah, that one, it seemed like you were talking about either an old boyfriend or a cat. I couldn't tell. It's like a metaphor. You know what I mean?
Oh, Jimmy,
but that's
sweet.
The one I like.
I like that one, too.
Pathos, pouring it
always
out.
Always pathos.
And, God, what was cut number five? I got it written down here somewhere. Oh, my God, I'm going to start crying. Uh-oh. I'm going to start crying.
You're too sweet.
Cut five, I think, to me, said it all.
Did it?
It really said
that's
it all.
That's the one, eh?
Because it was like Adele, but there's so much more to you than just what people know. And by the way, that's why I want to do this interview.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's so much more depth, you know, obviously the looks, everyone responds to that.
Well,
the angelic voice,
thank you.
Incredible hair, meaningless tattoo.
Who?
Everyone.
Wait, what about my tattoo?
I said, I'm pretty sure I used the word breathtaking before tattoo, but
you have
that tattoo on your forearm.
Oh, you love it. I love it too.
Yeah, I think I would love it more if I knew what the heck it was.
You know, tattoos are personal. It's really just for me to know. Me and my loved ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not really for you.
Yeah, I told a lot of people I was doing this interview, and most of them want to know what the tattoo was.
They have to buy the album and find out. If you're listening to this,
you buy that album, you listen to Cut 3, because that is the most meaningful.
Cut 5, you said.
That was the one about the cat, I think.
Oh.
Cut 3, as I was saying. Oh, my God. I'm going to plot. It's like I'm back on that airplane. Just listening to it over and over and over. Oh, you know what it was? I know what I did, Adele. I took Cut 2, which I love.
Yeah.
And Cut 3, which I love as well. And I think I may have added those two numbers and said Cut 5, which I love even more.
Oh, that makes perfect
cut
sense.
Cut 2 and Cut 3.
I like you. We should go out for a pint, you and
by
me.
The time we got to Cut 17, I was like, I was a heap of tears on that
there's
flight.
Only 11 cuts on the album.
Maybe. I knew it was an odd number.
Yeah.
I knew it was an odd number.
Perhaps it started replaying.
I think
replaying.
I did the repeat.
Yeah.
I don't do shuffle. I do not do shuffle.
No shuffle on my albums.
No
shuffling. I got Spotify to agree to that.
I don't want to shuffle off the bubble if I do shuffle
that.
On your thing. So it's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah,
what's the tattoo mean?
Maybe it'll be revealed in my next album.
Yeah, I think a lot of my listeners would like to know what it is, on this album.
Next album.
Maybe some hints I could guess. You know, to me, it looks like... It looks like a monkey fucking a football.
Close.
I know it can't be it, but...
You know, that is what he is. And by football, of course, you mean, as you call it, soccer ball.
Well, it's football. It's American football. It's kind of the real sport.
That is what it is. Mm. It symbolizes something very personal for me.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it is a monkey fucking football.
Oh, well, there you go.
You're
I'm sorry. Someone tweeted me that, so I can't take credit.
Get it right
but,
on ahead.
Anyway, Cut 7, all the way through Cut 13. It was magical. Magical stuff.
Cuts, yeah,
I listened to it over and over and over again.
You and I should go out for some clotted cream. I like you.
Well, don't put it in the mac and cheese, sweetie.
Oh, it's a fine callback.
And scene. See how he could have done that?
Jesus.
Flawless.
That was 29 minutes of real time.
That was a flawless interview.
I'll be sure to leave Adele off of my list of impressions. I've never tried that before.
She's pretty cockney.
She's the citizen of the world.
Thank you.
Why is she so cockney?
It's the town she's from.
I know, but I don't know. Most of the time, I think a little more Elton John or something. Like a little more something sophisticated.
I don't know anything about Adele's background, but to my ear, she has a little bit of a northern sort of Manchurian accent, kind of like
that's
Oasis.
Correct.
Or maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wait, hold on. Chris said something.
Brian is correct. She's
yes!
North London.
North London.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cockney.
Is it what? Not cockney.
No.
Does she play it up a little bit? I think she kind of does the brassy regular girl.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe that's just with Oprah.
But think of a country star. You know, they might have a little more twang when they're interviewing.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what is that tattoo?
I have no fucking idea.
Does anyone know what that tattoo is?
I don't even know what you're talking about. Can we see a picture of it?
It's on her right forearm. It looks like something from the sea.
to cry.
Right.
It looks like an anemone, a shell, or something.
I think it's supposed to be a mountain range.
A mountain range.
But when it's that small, it doesn't. It looks like a tortoise shell.
Yeah. You know, people get
EKG readout.
People get nonsensical tattoos, and they always tell you it's to remind them of something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like to breathe or something, and I'm like, wow. Your doctor's not going to be happy that you need an actual tattoo to remember to breathe.
It
reminds them of something. It keeps them. But but what they never really explain is the downside is it confuses the fuck out of everyone else.
You know what I mean?
You get up there, you get some tribal shit or your mom's name or something or the ship you were on in the Navy. We have a context
we
there. But the mountain range, is it a mountain? What's it look like?
It says Adele fan identifies secret mountain range tattoo. Oh, no. Sorry. How many tattoos does she have? I'm looking at a different one on her forearm.
Oh, so it's Saturn.
That is some version of Baby Yoda.
She has a lot of tattoos in her arms.
She does?
I mean, I'm looking at three different ones right here.
Wow. Yeah, the only one I can see when she's singing is Saturn on the arm.
Yeah, that's Saturn.
All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John. This Black Friday, celebrate softness season by stocking up on Tommy John underwear, loungewear, and pajamas. Shop their Black Friday sale right now. Give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself. Over 16 million pairs sold. Give the gift of Tommy John, and it's become a holiday tradition for a lot of families across the country. I'm wearing mine right now. You would be a fool to leave your home without your Tommy Johns on. And they don't have customers. They have fanatics. Once you get into that, you do not go back to what you're formerly wearing. And not only is it the underwear, but the T-shirts are great. The loungewear is great. Bras as well. Men and women underwear. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed, right, Dawson?
During Tommy John's Black Friday sale, get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Adam. Get 20% off for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/Adam. Go right now to TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, comedian Pete Lee's going to join us soon. We got a Rotten Tomatoes game, and we'll do that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hey, Adam Carolla here. If a comedian is silent, you know society's in trouble. Lucky for you, I'm not silent. Comedians are the truth tellers that give you the world the way it really is. That's why I'm super excited to bring you my new show with the Daily Wire called Truth Yeller. It's a show with lots of jokes and none of the woke. Exclusively available on Daily Wire. I'll host one celebrity guest per episode and give you a little stand-up, a little interview, a little improv, and if you're smart, a lot of laughs. First guest, Jay Leno. Go to dailywire.com/Adam to save 35% on memberships. So when my show drops this Friday, you'll be the first to catch it. This deal won't last through the weekend and won't come up again anytime soon. Hurry up, subscribe now, and stream Truth Yeller only at Daily Wire.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. It can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Dawson names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right. Well, whether you're planning on enjoying turkey, goose, duck, chicken, or some freakish Frankenstein combination of any of those on Thanksgiving, everyone loves to gobble down some good cooked bird. We're just a couple days away now, so this Rotten Tomatoes game is going to be extra foul. Get it?
Yep.
You guys like that?
Yep.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Vandal upon there. Good job. Let's talk bird movies.
Bird movies.
Given all the recent headlines, we have to begin by discussing a movie that was previously the most infamous movie to have a behind-the-scenes death during filming. Getting into the plot, the film opens with a tragic death of its own and jumps forward a year later when a crow taps on the dead man's gravestone, bringing him back to life and leading him from one killer to the next until his own death has been avenged. Brandon Lee stars in 1994's The Crow.
So he died during the filming of this, but maybe toward the end, and they had like a double finish some of the stuff on this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't tell you. He obviously was in most of the movie.
I saw it in Pasadena. It was a very pivotal time. I was like kind of half in show business at K-Rock, not making any money, so still living my old lifestyle at the house with Ralph and Cortland and La Crescenta and going to see like the matinee in Pasadena. He said it was 95, did you say? 94?
1994.
94, yeah. So that was right about when I was getting into show business. So I remember where I saw it. It was like, yeah, it was a pretty good movie, pretty serviceable. What it, you know, the poster kind of let you know what it was. I got a
guy walking through a doorway.
Yeah. You got it from watching the spots and the commercials. Like it was what it was. But
does the behind the scenes story give it a bump?
I gotta believe you gotta give a few points.
I never saw this.
Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's it was his son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Lee was iconic. I gotta give a few points there.
Okay.
All right. You just couldn't be cruel to this movie. For you guys in?
Yep.
For that reason, 77.
A little lower at 68.
63.
The Crow is certified fresh at 83%.
Damn it.
People had it at 90. Yeah, so maybe it got a little the Brandon past bump.
Next up, we have a cult classic about a walking, talking, intergalactic duck.
My favorite!
I saw this many times as a child.
Multiple times.
Beamed to Cleveland to help stop an alien invasion. The 80s rock-infused visual effects comedy stars Leah Thompson, Tim Robbins, and Jeffrey Jones, based on a Marvel comic book.
Oh.
And executive produced by George Lucas from 1986, Howard the Duck.
Did you see this? Because Brian and I both saw this as very small children.
I saw it. There was no weirder
Play Duck.
Era. There's no weirder era than 80s depiction of 80s girls rock band.
Yes.
Like Leah Thompson doing the was 80s. Foxy in this movie, too.
But it was just, that was considered the height of sexiness, the girl band, probably driven by the Go-Go's, the Bangles, and all
her
that kind
crimped.
Of stuff. Right, crimped.
Buddy, I fell in love with Leah Thompson in this movie. I was like seven.
Wasn't she trying to? Well, there was some bestiality in here. Remember?
She did.
They were cozy.
Like him.
Yeah, she was into him. Poor Leah Thompson between trying to fuck her son and Back to the Future and fuck a duck.
Sexual dysfunction.
All right. This is a. I know you have. Yeah, you have warm thoughts about it, but it was not well received.
George Lucas really backs some stinkers sometimes.
This, of course, was a huge bomb. I've seen it semi-recently. It's not that bad.
You've seen it in the last 30 years?
Parts. Wow. And honestly, I mean, it's not good, but it's not like the worst movie ever. It's like, I can see what they're going for.
And these days, Howard the Duck would have been voiced by someone famous. This was just
some dude.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Actually, look it up. Watch it be someone really famous. Yeah.
You made me a little nervous with your faint praise.
No, but at the time, I'm sure it was killed at the time.
Well, I said it wasn't that bad. But I got to believe critics would have to, turn in their credentials if they didn't give it a low score. I gave it 17%.
Ooh. A little higher at 21.
A little higher at 37.
Howard the Duck is rotten at 14%.
Oh, I am so out.
Dang.
Our next film stars Jim Carrey as a successful real estate developer whose life changes dramatically when he's gifted a penguin from his late father. Soon, five more penguins move into his posh Park Avenue apartment and the man's once cold heart begins to thaw. Co-starring Carla Gugino and Angela Lansbury.
What?
And directed by Mark Waters of Mean Girls fame. From 2011, Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Oh, my God.
This is such a weird one for Jim Carrey. I was just watching the whole making of the doc of the making of the man on the moon.
Yeah.
And
oh,
all
yeah.
That.
Andy and me.
Andy Warhol. Yeah, Andy, I'm not Kaufman. Andy Kaufman and me and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like,
Randy and Jim, whatever it was called.
This guy's such an artist. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're doing the Penguin movie. Yeah. And this isn't, well, he was young. He was looking for a paycheck or whatever. This is 2011. This is, he's been around a little bit. Like,
was there a cause he was desperate to donate this to or something?
I know it's just a pure money grab, but this is a weird one for him. All right. Anyway, likable.
We all saw it.
Everyone likes penguins.
Indeed.
So I hope that's one of the reviews.
I mean, can you go, how do you go under 50% with Jim Carrey starring in a movie?
Do you punish him for being in this movie?
Mm.
Punitive.
Mm-hmm.
2011, his star had fallen quite a bit by this point.
Mm.
I mean, what was the last big beloved movie he was in?
I don't know.
I don't know the years of anything.
All right. But everyone loves penguins.
Oh my God, I love that you keep coming back to that.
All right. I'm in. You guys in?
I mean, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
23.
Ooh, actually went higher. 41.
48.
Mr. Popper's Penguins is rotten at 47.
Finally, I needed that so bad.
Yeah, I should have listened to my 50.
Everyone loves penguins.
Everyone
loves penguins.
Next up, the blokes behind those Wallace and Gromit stop-motion claymation films wrote and produced this family film about an American rooster who falls in love with a gorgeous hen on a British farm. When the evil farmer forms a get-rich-quick scheme to make chicken pot pies, the birds attempt their own great escape.
Yeah.
The vocal cast is led by Mel Gibson, and it's from the year 2000. Chicken Run.
Okay.
I love this movie.
Of course you do.
And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, by the way. They have to make a whole chicken pie-making contraption. It takes months.
All right. The critics like this kind of stuff.
It's British.
Yes. I did not see it.
It's very fun.
Wait, what year was it?
2000.
Was this before or after Sugar Tits and Jews
well
Are
before.
Horrible?
Well, okay. Before. Well, okay. Before. So we're not going to shave any Mel Gibson points off here for affairs outside of the studio.
Right.
So now, did you see it, Gina?
No.
Brian?
I like this movie a lot.
Okay.
I really do.
I don't know.
Don't listen to
him. I genuinely like this movie.
Well, I do feel like kids' movies or animated or claymated. It was a stop action.
It's the claymation stop action. I will say, not a kids' movie.
They said
the humor's aimed at adults.
They have to be better than movies where you can look at the actor or the actress. They're just generally better. The scripts are generally.
I think there's something to that.
It's my Pixar thing. Those Pixar scripts are so goddamn good.
They just
have to be, because otherwise you're just looking at Kate Hudson wearing yoga pants going, well, we don't need to write anything here.
Right.
She's doing yoga. All right. Let's see. This could separate the men from the boys. I'm going high at 81.
Oh, shit. A little higher, 88.
Are you guys serious?
It's a good movie.
Ah, shit. 68.
No.
Chicken Run.
Just watching certified. With the boy.
Okay.
Certified
shit.
Fresh.
Yeah.
97%.
You've got to be fucking kidding.
Audience has it at 65.
I think a lot of kids, people, like parents took their kids to see it, and it's kids would be bored.
Yeah, maybe there's a little, is there a little PETA theme here going? I don't mean PETA, but I just mean a critics like kind animal, victorious animal.
And you're supposed to love Wallace and Gromit. Mm-hmm. That's very trendy.
Yeah, don't read too much into it, Adam, with the audience score. Like, this is a British kind of highbrow, like animation aimed at adults. And I think a lot of people took their kids and were like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, okay. All right.
Finally, we have this sci-fi thriller about an evil force that kills anything that looks at it. As a result, a mother and her kids must take their journey make their journey to safety completely blindfolded and only aided by a box full of birds that warn them of impending danger, released exclusively on Netflix back when that was a novelty, and starring Sandra Bullock from 2018, Bird Box.
I believe Brian said this is a movie for people who don't watch movies.
Yeah, this is a movie for people who don't enjoy movies.
What does the birds in the box have to do? They're
the canary in the coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
If like, they die or something, then you
or
know,
if they chirp,
afoot.
Put yeah. your mask on. It was okay. I liked it.
It was a genuine phenomenon. People would not. Didn't Chrissy Teigen like tweeted about this? Like,
maybe.
It scared the crap out of me, and then it became a phenomenon.
Well,
fuck Chrissy Teigen.
I think people have like a very visceral reaction to like when you can't see stuff. I think the theme that they had to wear blindfolds and get around was a big deal. Kind of like Quiet Place. You can't speak like that. That gets people going.
It's a sweet movie.
I watched the second one on the plane.
I think Chris Morgan from Fast and Furious, this is his thing. This is his film.
He produced it.
And I remember being with him, and he's like, I got to go talk to Sandra Bullock. I got to go talk her into doing this little itty-bitty thing we're doing.
It's huge.
Well, it's huge now.
Right, right.
It probably cost $8 million.
It probably didn't sound like that much to Sandra Bullock at the time. But I remember he said, I got to go meet with her, and I got to like talk her into doing this film, and then it turned into this. All right, so
a genuine phenomenon. People wouldn't stop talking about this.
But I don't think this was schlock. I think this was like a good, decent movie. But to Brian's standards, it just didn't make the cut.
Well, I haven't seen it. I'm a supportive friend, so I haven't seen it. Yeah, and I, you know, sometimes there's a backlash. Sometimes critics see it, then go, "Oh, come on, it's not that good."
Like
it's after the hype. But they like Sandra Bullock, strong mom. Like
she was great.
Good theme, right?
She was in it.
And Brian didn't like it, but Gina.
I liked it.
Did.
And I think it became, to your point, Adam, I think it became a phenomenon after it was released for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the reviews were in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. I think Brian and I may be pretty close to one another.
I think you're right.
I have no good idea if there's going to be a little critics like I didn't like it, a little contrarian clinic critic thing when everyone else is going down a road and you're going to zig when they zag. I will say 78.
I'm close to you. 68.
83.
Really?
I don't know. I'm already fucked. It doesn't matter.
Bird Box is Faresh at 64.
All right.
Good night.
Damn it.
That badly.
Yeah. Damn it.
Really thought people really like this.
I think they were sucked in by the hype. A lot of you people, you obviously hear what's
going
on.
That's why I watched it. I wanted to see what the big deal was.
Audience at 57. What the hell?
Gina Grad.
Good night.
Congratulations. You made the podium.
Thank you.
92, your big score.
No.
Well played. Bald Brian coming in with a 41, leaving us the ace man who has won the last two times at least that we played this game.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of winning.
Oh,
is his score enough? Bald Brian with a 41 leading us to congratulate Adam Carolla on second place, 63.
Oh. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do.
Wasn't that close after all?
I got out to a lead, and then I squandered it at the end. All right, comedian Pete Lee is going to join us. We'll talk to the very funny Pete Lee right after this.